Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはスペシャルエピソードです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to a special episode on Japan Top
10. Hello everyoneI am Connor.
And I'm Shauna.
And we are going to, I guess, present to you episode 461 of Japan Top 10. And this episode is going to be our January 2023 special on Japanese goth music.
What do you know about the world of goth? I mean, my knowledge is not the best, but I'm excited to kind of deep dive into this particular genre.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've only known it, I guess, in like American terms. And I never like stopped to think about how Japan has tackled it, because I know that Japan, you know, especially Japanese music, they're really good with taking foreign ideas and creating something entirely new and distinct from them. And so I was, you know, of course, very excited and not shocked at all when I found out that there's a lot of really good music out there.And it's also, you know, a very, I guess, wide genre, because after like pure rock, like there, like it was essentially in like the late 80s, like it really took off in Japan, and it like it's influenced genres even till today. So I was very pleased and not really surprised to find lots of hidden gems.
I went through this list and I was.Really surprised, because one, I saw quite a few songs that, like, after listening to, I'm really excited to, you know, kind of talk about, because this, like, in general, not really a genre I explore. But I have to say, I mean, Visual K is such a big movement in Japan.
Yeah.
So I definitely see, like, the influence it's had over the industry. Before we start, though...We have a couple of announcements. If you would like to join our team, we're looking for various staff members, including audio editors, content producers, and on-air hosts to join our podcast. So you can join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there. Go ahead and check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for all the details. And maybe we can see you as part of our team sometime.
Yeah. Also, if you are interested in advertising on our podcast, you can market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese culture-based podcasts. So you can reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. You can find these details at jtop10.jp.
And talking about advertising...We're also here for all our indie Japanese music artists. So if you create Japanese music and want some exposure, you can get in contact with our music director by sending them an email at nola@jtop10.jp, which is nola@jtop10.jp, along with a song you'd like us to feature on the podcast.
And then remember, if you're enjoying this episode, you can receive the full version by becoming a Patreon donor, just starting at $1. So...very easy to do. Plus, you'll receive this episode without any announcements or interruptions, so just commentary music. You can check out this on our website at jtop10.jp/club for details.
And of course, your opinion is important, so if you got a chance, did you participate in our annual listener survey? So if you haven't, you can check out our site at jtop10.jp/survey, and you can find out what we're doing to ensure that your feedbackreflects in the work we will be bringing out in this new year. So lots of exciting stuff happening.
Yeah, and so after those announcements, I think we should go and get back to goth. First thing I'll say is that goth is originally a subculture rooted in the UK from the 1980s and mainly subsisted within music. And so it took its name from the gothic rock genre, which came after the post-punk era. Goth came to Japan about a decade later and gave rise to the Visual K movement that is still prevalent today. And if you don't know what Visual K is, it's like the heavy presence of fashion and physical appearances in the Japanese music scene, particularly. And so you'll see lots of Japanese artists dressing up to the extreme in like every theme imaginable. I don't know if you have anything to like, I guess, add to that, Chanmin. That's kind of my understanding of it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think Visual K especially had such a strong influence, I guess, early 2000s, late like 1990s, because that's where I personally saw like a really big rise in like the Visual K scene, especially in like, say, the Western part of the world. And I think that was the introduction of Japanese music for a lot of the Western world as well. So it's a great place to start, though, because goth has continued to prosper in the world and contributed greatly to many other genres. So like the heavy guitar, rhythms, and other ideas have been adopted by genres such as indie rock and popular teen bands.
Yeah, and I think as you'll find throughout this episode, you'll see that Japanese goth music comes out in many forms. So there's oftentimes like a heavy rock influence, but other styles including synth, indie, and others will also appear. And so maybe you'll be listening to a song and you'll be surprised. You're like, are you sure this is, you know, Japanese goth music? But like, it's a very versatile genre, and it's kind of influenced Visual K, and so I'm not surprised it's also influenced, you know, a lot of other rock and indie and, you know, etc. bands out there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Japanese rock has its own following, but I think like gothic rock, especially in Japan, has its like a separate like subculture / fan club for it in particular, right? And many of the popular, like more popular goth groups that formed in the late 1900s, like they still perform today actually. So there's still a massive following for a lot of these places, a lot of these bands. And there are also some newer bands, but they are slightly different in taste and tend to have more pop infused in their music. So lots of differences from, you know, the traditional goth, but like I said, there's still a massive following for this particular type of music.
And another big part of Japanese goth music is the album artwork, as well as the lyrics and the aesthetics. It is very common to find poetic and dramatic artwork on the covers, which incorporate goth themes such as black coloring and grayscale, abstract symbolisms, and freedom of expression. I find that part to be very beautiful. The lyrics discuss a wide range of topics, but much like the artwork, there is a clear freedom of abstract expression. And it's also important to note that English is used much more frequently in you know, like Japanese goth music. And I mean, I was kind of brainstorming that like maybe it could be due to the goth culture's creation in the UK. I feel like there is some connection there, but I think that there is some more frequent use of English in Japanese goth music. So I think that that's just a fun fact. And then lastly, though, the aesthetics of goth culture can be seen all throughout the music. So like dark themes, loud and blaring electric guitar and drums, which is like one of my favorite parts of it, as well as like yelling vocals. The artists themselves also commonly dress and behave along with the goth aesthetic, and there are like many different like nuances to that. And so every single group will kind of dress a bit differently, and you know, and it's really interesting to see how that also reflects their music style.
No, absolutely. I mean, I feel like goth culture is very deeply entwined within goth music, and therefore the aesthetics of it all cannot be really separated from the music as well. And like you said about the like artwork and, you know, poetic, dramatic artwork and stuff there, that's actually one of my favorite parts of goth music as well. Any like aesthetic art or like art in most forms kind of catches my eye first. So I quite like the entire immersive nature of goth music and culture as such, the entire aesthetic. So I think it's really interesting to look at those particular factors when, you know, exploring especially Japanese goth music. And I guess we can jump right into it with our first song, Tsumetai Kodo, which was released on January 1st, 2001 by the band Mosome Tonebender.
Number 4.
And that was Tsumetai Kodo, and it was by the band Mosome Tonebender. Again, love the name. Okay, this band consists of three members: Momo Kazuhiro, who's the lead vocalist and guitarist, Take Yasudori, who plays the bass guitar and backing vocals, and Fujita Isamu, who's the drummer and backing vocals.
The band forms in Fukuoka in 1997 to provide a new spin on the rock scene in Japan. And although they are quite calm and laid back, the younger days were full of loud, blaring guitar and drums lined with yelling vocals. And so, again, into this example of groups starting off on one end of the spectrum, and then as time progresses, they kind of find different sounds and what works for them and for their fans.
Absolutely. I mean, they've even said it, like, I think they've that transition is there in their songs as well, right? So this extreme energy can still be felt in their newer music. However, they are still finding like new ways to constantly kind of excite their fans. So I love it. Like we spoke about this before, right? Like the transition of one genre to another or one style of music to another. Because I don't really think there was a genre shift here. It was just the style as such. But I really like that.
Yeah, and I feel like this episode, you know, is turning more into a like a cool Japanese, you know, group names like instead of like Japanese goth. Like I think maybe this is like a kind of a dual episode, you know, and you're getting, you know, two in one. But
who knows? You know, that's how we're gonna market it.
Oh, wow! But yeah, it's like I'm speechless. It's just it's so amazing. Just reading and speaking their name, Mosome Tonebender. Yeah, it's lovely.
Definitely has a ring to it, like the Japanese naming.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Next up, we have a band that I'm sure needs no introduction, but I will give you one anyways. We have Bandmaid's song, Choose Me, from January 1st, 2017.
Number 3. Do you know? No. I didn't mean anything. It's okay. I choose you.
That was Choose Me by the group Bandmaid. So Bandmaid is a well-known band on this channel. We've shown, displayed some of their songs before, I think just because they're a very versatile group. And so, but also because they're a very talented group. I think that, they wouldn't appear on this podcast so much if they weren't, talented. But I think that the fact that they're still releasing music and being highly successful proves that. But this time in particular, we are looking at their gothic elements in one of their most fast-paced works. So Patrick St. Nicol called it pure frantic rush and borderline cinematic. And so I think those phrases actually really, really, I guess, exactly define the song. Like, I think that it does kind of seem like a movie in a sense, Like, I think that there's a very clear plot and, it's very vivid in terms of just the sound it produces.
Absolutely. And I think pure frantic rush in particular stands out to me as far as like this song goes. I love Bandmaid. I think I think I first heard of Bandmade from another episode from the podcast. But so there's history here for me as far as Bandmade goes. But again, I really love their songs, especially their style, right? And it even shows in their music video where, you know, the goth side really comes up from the grayscale to the empty room and an energetic but almost violent performance. So lots of moving shadows, flashing lights, like just the drama of it all, you know, really, really speaks to the viewer. So I mean, if you get the chance, definitely watch the music video for this. And, you know, this, like, the support for the chaotic and frantically rushed feeling of the music is definitely there. So I think it's one of those songs that, like, I love, like, you can listen to it by itself, but watching the music video definitely adds a whole new layer to it.
Yeah, no, I second that. I really recommend you all watch music video for this song. It's I think, like, watching the music video also, you know, it makes it literally cinematic, but I think it just enhances the cinematography that's going on with just the music alone. So you'll definitely feel a lot more if you watch that. So yeah, that's on YouTube.
Yes, you have something to watch and more recommendations here. And speaking of more recommendations, we're kind of like dwindling down to our last couple of songs, and we have Last Alliance with their song Heki Reki, released on October 27th, 2010.
Number 2. Kick it.
And that was Last Alliance with their song Heki Reki. So Last Alliance is a group from Machida, Tokyo, and they're a pretty well-known rock band that has a presence in the anime scene. And for all my anime fans out there, the Uran High School Host Club theme is by Last Alliance. So I know that particular song has its own fandom there. So
no, I absolutely love this song and this group. This is actually my first time listening to Last Alliance, and so I was very pleasantly surprised when I stumbled upon them. But yeah, I feel like most of the Japanese music that like falls in my favorites category comes from like the 2000s to like early 2010s. Like I just think it's a kind of one of the golden eras in terms of more modern music. But they're definitely a very, I guess, popular band. They've had a lot of time to grow, and so they have a total of 6 albums, as well as 1 mini album and 8 singles. And so all of these releases have contributed to their fame.
And I mean, like the band in general has, you know, their entire style is, you know, lots of noise, backup vocals, electric guitars, and screaming. So it's a 4-member band, and you know, they definitely bring all of that to the table for sure.
Yeah, I think that, you know, all those, I guess, implements they have, it really does make their sound more unique, because it has all the components of other goth music, but it organizes them in a way that, you know, that makes it work and it distinguishes themselves. And so they make it work. That's all I can say, they make it work.
That's very, very true, very true. I feel like it's very easy to kind of get goth rock wrong, as far as, you know, not having it sound, like, sometimes it just sounds like screaming, and sometimes you get something that's really beautiful, right? And I feel like this is one of the examples of something that's really beautiful, because I really enjoyed this, once again, down the line of my, like, heavy metal not really being my scene. This was still, like, something that even I, like, as someone who's not necessarily into that scene, could enjoy.
Yeah, no, for sure, yeah. And I'm glad that it, you know, it's had that effect on me as well. But I'm excited to announce this last group. They're called A Crowd of Rebellion, and that's, again, I think, a really cool name.
Of course.
But, yeah, this last song is called M1917. From June 22nd, 2016.
Number 1.
Yeah.
Again, that was M1917 by the group A Crowd of Rebellion. And so, to begin, this group was formed in 2007.
And the entire draw of this group is their twin vocals and intimate lyrics, and it really drives their popularity. Not to mention, their presence on stage is truly, like, captivating.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend watching, either attending a concert, you know, from them, but also just looking at, you know, their, like, live concerts and videos on YouTube. Like, it's very captivating. I don't know what to say. Like, it adds to the music so much.
Absolutely. I feel like I think we've spoken about the entire, like, aesthetic of it all. And because of how deeply ingrained the aesthetic is, or, like, the entire, I don't want to say bells and whistles of it all, but, I mean, you get the idea of what I'm talking about, but altogether, it creates something that is so intensely unique that it's genuinely worth watching outside of, you know, digital mediums.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that their stage name also has, like, a gothic feel to it. You know, a Crowd of Rebellion, it has this, you know, this abstract and groundbreaking or rule-breaking theme to it. You know, I think it on the one hand, it signifies, you know, this whole theme that goth has created, but it's also distinguished this group in particular. And, you know, it literally tells people, like, you know, who they are. Like, their music is, it's rebellious. Like, they are, you know, creating stuff that's not, you know, what you hear from the next group over. And so I think that their name, you know, their name is not only cool because it, you know, it sounds nice and has a nice ring to it. I think that it also tells you a lot about what their personalities are like and what their music is like.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that was a very beautiful way to put it, honestly. It kind of reminds me of something I heard, who told me this, but I was having a conversation with someone and they said that art is just like little pockets of rebellion. And I know that, like, kind of like struck in my mind when you were talking about this, because it's very true. I mean, you can hear the kind of fight, and I mean you can just hear it in the vocals and the song in itself, and it's such a beautiful thing to listen to.
It really is. I'm glad that was, you know, the last group that we ended up finishing with. In hindsight, I think that we've created a very good playlist, you know, on this episode. I think that I recommend everyone listen to them, you know, another time, or two or three or four more. I think that Japanese goth is actually a very beautiful genre, and I think that the beauty comes not only just in its pure essence, but also in its contributions to other fields. I, for one, am gonna look more into Japanese goth because of all of these reasons. I'm very excited to see what other hidden gems are out there, and I hope you guys do the same.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think I'm not gonna lie, every single time I do a new episode, I learn so much more, and, you know, I find new songs that kind of capture my heart. And I think I have, apart from, of course, the almost brilliant Japanese naming styles, which will forever be my passion, I think I have found a new genre to explore, and I'm really glad. This is actually a very cohesive and holistic playlist with something for everyone, honestly. And like you said, I feel like, you know, it's genuinely something I want to explore further now. From like the alternative sounds to understanding the culture and more, it really is a cultural phenomenon in and of itself.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I'm glad that it has that place in your heart as well now.
always. But I guess like the more you learn, honestly.
Like, I think also, like, we got a bonus from this episode. We all learned a lot of very cool new band names. You know, I think that they're all worth more, you know, more of a listen and seeing what other stuff they have.
Absolutely. I mean, I, for one, definitely want to know what's going to happen with Maximum the Hormone, or, you know, Mosom Tonebender. So definitely bands I'm going to keep a lookout for. And I'm kind of sad that it's over. I mean, it's over for us in this particular episode, but you still have the chance to explore the world of Japanese goth and alternative sounds for sure.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so, I mean, I think also like not all is lost, because next week, me and Jana actually will be hosting again, but this time for a brand new Artist of the Month episode featuring Paul Kali. And so I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, it's double whammy. You get us twice, yeah, exactly. Like back to back. No escape.
Oh my gosh.
I think we will end this on a high note, clearly. But I guess that's it from us.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks. I had a lot of fun hosting this.
Yeah.
And I guess for all our fans out there, thank you for listening.
Hope you enjoyed this episode.
And I will catch you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Japan Top 10.